Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to Miss Rain's Renewing Your Life show today on Think Big Radio. I am super, super duper excited to have the guest that we have on today, Miss Natasha. Oh, listen, we all know that we have dealt with some generational curses in different aspects of our life. Now, as you know, my show is on renewal. So we are going to renew some relationships by getting rid of some of these generational curses, okay? And here to give us some more insight, to give us some action steps, is Mrs. Natasha Oates. Natasha!
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, I'm so glad you're here today. I'm excited to hear your take and your information. And the fact that you are a therapist means you got some weight behind your words, so let us get started. So first and foremost, please introduce yourself.
Absolutely. Yes, my name is Natasha Oates. I am a licensed therapist. I have a practice in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I help couples who are just doing great things in the community, doing the great things at work, but in the home life, the relationship life, it's a little bit rocky. So I help them get that in order, and I also help professionals who are overwhelmed with the juggle of all the roles and hats that we wear. So I'm so excited to talk about our topic, when bad marriages are generational.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. First, let's just start at the top. Is a generational curse?
Yeah, so this is a term that, you know, we hear a lot in our community and sometimes even in church, and it's really when there are deep-seated issues that go on in families generation after generation after generation. And I know today we're talking about relationships, but it could be generational poverty. It could be a number of things. So it's really important that we recognize that it is a real thing, and we don't have to really look at it as a curse, but it's called a curse because it's so difficult to break. So it's really important that we take a closer look to see what are some things that we may need to tackle that could be some possible generational curses.
Great. Now, how does it manifest in our lives? We know you mentioned that is, you know, something that has been, is kind of passed down, but how do we know that it's manifesting as a generational curse?
Yeah, so you can tell it's a generational curse when, first of all, whatever the issue is, it's hard to know when it even started. One of the things that I've noticed, and I'm not saying this just as an expert, but as someone who has to do the work right alongside you guys, right? Looking at things like how close-knit were the relationships within the family? Looking at what did my parents' relationships look like? What did their parents' relationship look like? And, for example, if you notice there's a stream of divorce or domestic violence or just a number of things, couples that can't show affection. You know, it doesn't even have to be severe. It's just things that really prevent us from living our full lives and having healthy and whole relationships, those blocks. So those are the things we want to look out for and seeing how can you kind of track how far down the line it's been.
Definitely. So Now let's do some examples. So give us some examples of how we know that something's generational. Because one thing that comes to mind, like a person that is a serial cheater, because
absolutely.
Maybe they saw their father or their mother.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you could be that person where you see there's a lot of infidelity, a lot of cheating happening in the family. You might not become a person that cheats, but the opposite might happen. See, generational curses doesn't necessarily mean you mirror exactly what has happened in the family. It just means you are affected. So it could be that you stay in relationships where you are cheated on multiple times, because it creates this familiarity that even though it's uncomfortable and even though it's hurtful, it's what you can connect to, what you can kind of in some way feel safe, because something outside of that doesn't feel familiar and safe and that you could track it. So that's an important thing to note, too. It doesn't mean that you're mirroring it exactly, but it means that you might be responding to similar situations in an unhealthy way because it's been in the family and because it's been in your environment and your upbringing for so long.
Oh, my goodness. So this is a double-edged sword. So you can do the same thing that you've seen, or you can do the opposite of what you've seen.
Wow. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Now, how do we identify if it is generational, or is it, okay? So,
you know,
how do we identify if it is generational or if it's just one of our personal quirks? Because, you know, people have quirks when they go into relationships. Like, oh no, no one has ever seen that. But it's like, oh no, I don't like you when you wear green on Tuesday or something crazy like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we all have our quirks. but we're talking about just things that create an unhealthy environment where you cannot fully thrive. And I think one of the challenges in identifying a generational curse is a lot of times in our families we have a culture of don't talk about anything that's happened. You know, negative in the family. Mm-hmm. Don't air dirty laundry. Especially with the older generation, I've noticed in a lot of our families, they tend not to talk about the hardships that they've been through. So you might have to get that, you know, loose lips auntie, you know, that'll just kind of share if you have a suspicion about a few things. You know, you really may have to go there. And I know historically, especially in the African American community, we've been cut off from a lot of our history in general anyway. So I know there's a historical context too with not sharing, but it's important to look into it deeper, because you got to think about what's at stake. If it truly is there and if it's an issue and you do not go through the proper steps to address it, you know, your kids and their kids and ongoing, it is likely to continue, because these things are really, really hard and difficult to break.
Oh, my goodness. You mentioned children. And I know I have watched, I've binged a few episodes of Greenleaf, and so they have a storyline with the daughter, Zora, who is in an abusive relationship, and she's a teenager. Now,
yeah,
I know from personal experience, you don't wake up one day and all of a sudden you just abuse. It's a build up. And if you've seen the series and you've watched it, you see the build up of how it starts. That, you know, first it was just like a little push, and then it was a little shove. And next thing you know, you're in a full blown domestic abuse situation, but still unable to identify
right.
it. Now, you mentioned your children, so now your children see that this type of abuse, and then they come out thinking, hey, he has to be, if he don't beat on me, he don't love me type situation. How do you combat that when you're, when these are, this is a married person in a relationship, maybe one person feels that way and the other person doesn't. Like, I don't, I'm not going to beat you because that's unnecessary, but the other person thinks, well, if you don't beat me, you don't love me.
Wow. Now, you know, that you can tell by just the way that the person receives love that they are likely going to need a lot of counseling, that there's some psychological ways of thinking that really need to be adjusted. And while we're talking about this, just a side note, because we know that abuse is really prevalent, even though we don't talk about it a lot in our relationships. It happens a lot in our communities. Couples counseling is not going to help a couple that is dealing with domestic violence. It has to be specialized counseling services that deal with power and control issues. I just want to give that as a side note. But
definitely.
Oh my goodness, that is something where much more help is needed, and I would definitely suggest counseling for that person. Otherwise, they'll go through that same dance of her really trying to get a sense of safety and to feel like almost like she's worthy and good enough, but in an unhealthy way. Some of that really, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. And I know that's not the case for everyone, of having a need for that. But for some, I know that it is.
Now, I know you have had some cases and some different things, and you've got some experience and created some action steps and some different things. Before we do the action steps, what resources are available to help people understand if they're dealing with a generational curse situation or if it's just a quirk?
So definitely it's important to, if it's something that you're having a hard time breaking alone, and we'll kind of go through this in the action steps of what you can try before you seek professional help, I would absolutely seek professional help in really dissecting that. I'll have to put up some books on my website for it, but really it's about knowing what's going on in your family. And really being open with talking to family members so you know how deep it is. Because, see, sometimes we can think, I'm just dealing with my stuff, when it could be, like, your whole family's history of stuff stacked on top of you, and you have no idea.
Right.
So it's just so tremendous that, we have to start talking to each other about it.
Yes. Now, you have some action steps. How many steps? And what is one tool that you would utilize with someone? So let me give you a scenario.
Okay.
So I'm in a relationship, and all of a sudden, I just don't feel as though this person is still there for me, or they are being sincere. And then when I start looking deeper into the family, I noticed that, you know, they're accustomed to and knew about Pawpaw's other family on the other side of town. So now we're thinking about going into a marriage situation, but this mentality has been playing over and over and over that, you know, it's okay to have a family on the other side of town as long as you don't talk about it. So now I don't feel secure, and I want to talk about it, but the other person is not quite willing to talk about it. We come to couples counseling. What steps would you give us, and what action steps would we have?
Okay. It sounds like a few things are happening. But the first step in general is to take a look at your tree. You asked about how can I tell if this is just a quirk with me or if this is a generational concern. And so you got to examine your family tree. Look at, are there patterns, you know, with my parents and their parents? And beyond that, are there certain patterns? And it sounds like the issue is around abandonment with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is around secrets and just affairs. So looking, is there a pattern of that in the family in general? And then the second action step is be really honest. Look in that mirror really well and figure out, how have you been impacted by this? How have you been impacted by abandonment? Are you less likely to trust? Are you more likely to try to control everything because that's how you can feel safe because you don't trust well? Are you more accusatory because maybe the men in your family, they all cheat. Maybe the women in the family, you know, really talked about how all men cheat. Do you view men in a certain light because of what you've seen, because of what's in the family, because of what's said about certain things? So look at how you're impacted and how it changes how you make decisions in your relationship, how you make decisions and connect to your children, how you flow on the job. Like it literally will show up in certain ways in your life in many areas. If it is a generational curse, it will absolutely do that. The third step, change your mindset. Got to change your mindset. With a general curse, you cannot play around because many will go on and it'll keep repeating itself over and over. So you've got to know that you deserve more. That is a requirement. We talked about the abuse situation. You've got to know that you deserve more so that you can move forward in the action steps. And you've got to have an anchor. See the problem, what really keeps people from breaking generational curses is that it's really uncomfortable to behave in a healthier way because even though the hardships are hurtful and uncomfortable, it's familiar. And I know what to expect, mm-hmm. and I know what comes next. And so in its own special way, it's safe. But to go and to now do new healthy behaviors, it's uncomfortable. It's scary. I don't know what to expect. I don't know if I should trust this. So you've got to have something to anchor you. You know, they talk about know what your why is. And personally
right.
speaking, me personally, beyond being a therapist, being a human being, I've had to face many generational curses and still have to do maintenance work because this is not a one-time thing. Disclaimer. So my why, it was not wanting to replicate the pain, the confusion, and the chaos that I witnessed with my own parents and that I heard about with family members. But my why now is I have a child, and it is my duty to make sure that I'm teaching her, you know, how to walk as a woman correctly, but more than teaching her, that I am modeling that, because what I model, what she sees me do and what she hears me say every day is going to have the hugest impact. So that's step number three, change your mindset. Step number four, change your thoughts. And something that we do in the counseling realm all of the time with our clients. We know that, you know, we get all these intense emotions around these things, and we can get them calmed down and get a clear head when we have healthier thoughts and healthier ways of thinking about things. So it's really important to, you know, talk to yourself about what's healthy and what's not healthy, what's at stake. What do I want instead? All of those things. And the last step is get support. We are so guilty of, you know, I'm just going to suck this up. I'm just handling on my own. You know, it ain't that big of a deal. You know, I got it. I'm good. And we're not good. We're just as raggedy as we want to be, right? So get support. And that could be, you know, connecting with friends, connecting with family, who are doing really well in the area that you are having issues in. And I don't mean like they're faking it till they make it, but they're like legit doing well in that area. Because, you know, we all got a good game and a good math and all that stuff. So connecting with those people, connecting with someone you trust that you can talk to, connect with a support group, you know. And by all means, if that level of support isn't quite enough for you, absolutely, you know, seek out a therapist and do whatever it takes, because what's at stake are your children and the next generation after them and on. So I encourage you guys to definitely take a hold of these steps and free your family, free yourselves. It is something that I am having to do too, because I'm just as human as you guys are, and we are in this thing together.
Right. And I think that's one of the things people forget, that just because someone has gone through training and they have these degrees and these different things, that they don't mm-hmm. have the same problems. They do. They have the same problems.
Oh, yeah.
And But they understand how to take care of them first and foremost. Now, before
right.
we go
and
in,
Oh, sure.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, even knowing how to take care of something, there's still this temptation, because when you got all this education and all of this prestige, you can dress up something very well. And it, you know, it is just really hard to face the discomfort of change. To face the discomfort of opening these wounds and looking at them and really looking at the truth when we're used to putting on masks. So even for therapists, like, we have to do our own work. Community leaders, you know, faith leaders, we all have to do it. So I am so thrilled to share on this topic. It is definitely a passion of mine.
I see. Now, how can people contact you?
Yeah,
how can our listeners contact you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a website. It's lovethatlasts.org. On that site, we've got some events going on. We've got a Valentine's event, February 10th. Also, for our wonderful couples, we have date night games that are there. So, a lot of times we are busy and we're struggling with staying connected and close. So there's some games that help with that. And there's also games that help with intimacy. So you can also email me at admin@upretreats.com. And that information is also on the site as well. And that website, again, is www.lovethatlasts.org.
Great. Okay. Now, so we are on the website. You do retreats
mm-hmm.
for couples, and is it just for couples or is it individuals?
Yes, I do retreats for couples, and actually I would love to do some personal growth retreats as well for individuals. So definitely you can feel free to give me a call or shoot an email. And I actually love to travel too. So that's also an option with retreats.
Awesome. Now tell us, what is a retreat? What is the purpose of the retreat?
Oh, my goodness. So the purpose is really to break away from the mundane responsibilities that we have. I notice with couples, they neglect things like date night and quality time. And so the relationship becomes all about responsibilities, chores. Did you do that? I need to do this. You know, and it's easy to resent your relationship when it's all about obligation. So it's a way to break away and just really focus in on getting back and getting reacclimated with each other and looking at, we do a vision board, a family vision board. We look at, are there some generational issues that we need to be, you know, concerned about? We do different exercises that really help you to connect and grow together. So it's something that I love, love, love.
Great. So how long are the retreats?
Well, the actual part that I facilitate, that is 2 days. But the couple can stay there for as long as they want to. And that's, you know, that's encouraged. You know, we need to take more time just to dedicate it to our families and to our relationships, because we are some workaholic folks.
Yes, we are.
Yes,
now,
we are.
You mentioned a gala. For those folks of you in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, listen up. Now tell us about the gala and what they can expect. And I understand it's your second annual.
It is. And this gala is definitely unique. It is the weekend before Valentine's, February the 10th. And what we'll do is we have a dance instructor come in and they facilitate urban ballroom dance. So you think of Step in the Name of Love, that type of Detroit-style dance, very romantic and very easy to pick up. So it's a lot of fun. It's food, and then we'll have some relationship tips and some luxurious prizes as well. So it's really about having a great time and building up your relationship all at the same time.
That is awesome. Now, this is your second year. Tell us how did it come about that you decided to have this gala?
That's a great question. So I, you know, we know that I'm a therapist, but I understand that many people shy away from therapy, especially in the African-American community. And it's not because it wouldn't be helpful, but because it's still taboo. And I am an advocate for healthy relationships and marriages. So this is a great way to still get some good tips without it feeling like therapy. So this is my way of helping couples connect, still get great tips, and not have that same discomfort if they're not comfortable with pursuing counseling services.
Now, do you do anything with the faith-based community? Because I've heard your faith in some of the things that you're speaking about. Do you do anything with them, with that community?
That's a great question. I have done some retreats with churches, which is great. So, and my retreats actually are catered for just a private couple, like one couple, or if there's a group already assembled, like a church or a group of friends. So I have worked with churches and really enjoy doing that and hope to do more of it.
Ooh, that sounds awesome. So, okay, now give us some parting thoughts on generational curses, couples counseling, whatever is put on your shundo to tell us before we sign off.
Okay, awesome. In general, with relationships, I have a saying that I use, humble pie tastes really good. It's really good. It's delicious. And I say that because, there's so many issues that come up with relationships, but the thing that will help most of all of the issues is letting go of pride. Our pride will keep us from being open and honest about our deeper feelings, about what we need. Like, it'll keep us from saying, I really need you, I'm lonely, I'm hurt. You know, it'll keep us from not sharing those things, and it'll keep us trying to be right and trying to go back and forth about something. So if you want to see a drastic improvement in your relationship, you have to be willing to drop the pride and eat that humble pie.
What flavor is that pie? Because, you know, I like apple. I like apple pie. Is there humble ice cream to go with that pie? Because, you know, I like pie and ice cream. That's a good combo.
Yes.
You know, that makes, right, that makes a lot of sense. And when you think about it, if you just utilize some of the action steps that you gave us, can you just go over those real quickly, restate those,
sure,
the four action steps you gave us?
So examining your tree, so that means looking back into the family, seeing if there's some patterns regarding some of the issues that you're noticing. Examining yourself, look in the mirror, how are you impacted? That's number two. What things have you picked up, or how are you making unhealthy decisions based off of what your environment has been in that tree? And change your mindset, you know, really get to a place where you know without a shadow of a doubt you deserve much more than continuing in that way, in that same way of those generational curses, and having your why as well of what is that motivating factor that will keep you going even when it gets uncomfortable. So three was change your mind. Four, change your thoughts and get support. So that means no more just kind of going at it by yourself, but really linking up with people who care about you, who do really well in that area, and getting encouragement from them, seeking out things like self-help books or even therapy, if things aren't really shifting quick enough for what you're needing.
Oh, awesome. Well, listen, I know some folks have gotten some nuggets of information, nuggets of wisdom, some things to think about, to chew on, and all of those, quote, colloquialisms about finding out what they need to do and getting their life right. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show. One more time, tell us how they can get in contact with you.
Sure. So that's www.lovethatlasts.org. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Listen, I look forward to having you come back because I definitely want to delve some more into loving bae and loving yourself and, you know, these types of things. Just, you know, because we know it happens. It happens. We have to learn how to love and love rightly.
Absolutely.
And deeply.
And not lose yourself in the process. We can make that mistake. So I look forward to coming back. Thank you again for having me.
Great. Now we are going to get ready to sign off, and somehow my screen just disappeared.
Okay.
You got to love technology. You have to love technology. I'm telling you. I'm like, okay, I am still on the air, right? We're still on the air. I just happened to look up and my screen was gone. I was like, what happened?
Yes, my
screen. So let me get to the studio.
Once again.
Yes, yes, yes. So thank you so much. And we are going to definitely have you back, and we would love to hear more about you. Now, wait, are you doing any kind of book writing? Are you thinking on a book, working on a book, something in your spirit?
Thank you for that push.
Was that the push? I don't know. The Lord just told me to drop that in your shot, though. I'm just being obedient.
All right, now. And you can't see me, but my hands are raised. I received that. Oh,
I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm just trying to be obedient. That was the thing that popped in, like, hey, ask about that book you told me, right? Apparently, the Lord done gave it to you. You just trying to, you know, dip and dab it in so saliva. So,
yeah.
Get that book.
I probably got a few books. Yes. So, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, I done dropped it in. I've been obedient. I can go do my thing. Okay. Jesus said, I can go do my thing now because I've done what I was supposed to do.
Okay.
So again, I'm clicking on something and something popped up and I heard something in the background. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I really appreciate it. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Okay. Thank you too.
All right. Here's the outro.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
All right. Good night, big thinkers.